Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
All right, we're swapping things around a little bit today. Jeff Quattromani, he joins me for our tech segment. Hello, Jeff. How are you, mate?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. I got a question from somebody for you, Alan. Alan wants to know, is there any way to make an Android smartphone untrackable by stalkers and crooks?
Make it untrackable? I guess the reality is that if with your Android phone, you can turn off location services, and you can do this on an iPhone, turn off all location services from all apps so that no one uses your GPS location in any moment in time on your phone. So you could do that, and that means that, you know, Google, Facebook, and anybody else can't identify exactly where you are. But in saying that, if your phone is connected to, you know, a mobile network, then there is going to be some location tracking based on which cell phone tower you're connected to. So maybe not exactly as easy as just being untrackable, but making it pretty hard is just turning off location services and GPS.
Let me ask you this. If you, for example, I don't know, if you on social media, you watch a few TikTok videos to kill a bit of time every now and then, you notice that all of a sudden you might end up getting advertisements appear in the TikTok feed the next day of something that you watched more often than once. In other words, obviously information about you has ended up with TikTok.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean,
and they are reacting by sending you more information based on what you looked at. Is there a setting on your phone, both iPhone and Android, is there a setting on your phone that you can turn off sending them that information whilst still, you know, enjoying watching your TikTok videos or your YouTube videos?
I'll say that with Facebook and Instagram, you can. You can turn off what they call personalized ads, and that means you'll just get ads based on anything that an advertiser wants to push on Facebook rather than having it targeted to be in your interest.
Right.
What TikTok does and other platforms is they see what your interests are, then they target ads to you. So if you've been watching a lot of football videos, you're going to see, I don't know, sportswear ads or something like that. So, you know, that will happen naturally. But, you know, honestly, personally, if I have to see ads and we all have to see them, I'd almost prefer them to be at least in my interest rather than something that's, I don't know,
well,
something that my wife would be interested in.
That's true. And when someone sent me a question like that, I replied and basically said, well, you can just quickly scroll through the ad. You don't have to stop and look at the ad. You can quickly scroll through the ad.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, with TikTok, it is collecting a lot more information than you may expect or assume. And honestly, as much as I use TikTok and I can see why some people do, I mean, to me, the real thing is to get off it.
Why, mate? Why, Jeff? If you're just, you know, sitting down for a half an hour and you're chilling out watching a bit of fun on TikTok and you're not doing anything else, what are they collecting from you?
So obviously we know what they're collecting in terms of your location, your contacts that are on your smartphone, and other interactions you have with apps on your phone. So they have a pretty good understanding of who you are and what you're doing. For me, I get a little bit more nervous with the fact that, you know, TikTok is obviously a Chinese-owned company, what they will do with the data, how they will hold the data. Personally, for someone like me who is a little bit in the public, I do have a small sort of media exposure. I don't want anything that I do on that platform to one day be used or turned against me. But at the same time, I don't want them having access to my contacts, which, you know, I haven't given those contacts awareness of the fact that I'm going to share it with TikTok.
So when you say they have access to your contacts, are you suggesting that by you looking at YouTube videos or are we specifically talking TikTok here, they can access your smart device, be it a phone or be it an iPad or a tablet, an Android tablet or an Android phone, they can actually access your contact names and numbers on your phone?
Yes, yeah, and that's the part I do get concerned about, is they have access to your contacts and obviously other files on your phone if you permit it to, but the contacts one is the one I worry about, because I don't want, you know, say if I had your phone number, I didn't ask you if I could, TikTok starts to be on my phone, it's already being shared with them. So they have effectively built a database of contacts that they may not have relationships with, but they have through their own customers. So I just don't think that's quite fair.
Right. Hence, governments are now suggesting that their members of parliament do not use TikTok.
Completely. Yeah, absolutely.
It's scary, isn't it?
It can be. It can be. And you know, for a lot of people, who cares? You know, some think, well, who cares if they know where I am, or who cares if they have access to my contacts? And that's fine. I think that's one way of looking at things. But, yeah, I'm probably just a little bit more hyper-aware of these things. And, yes, I still use Facebook. I still use Instagram. I know the risks. But, yeah, it's a different situation when it's TikTok, I think.
But if they've got access to the contacts on your phone or your tablet, can they end up infiltrating bank apps, for example? Like if you bank with CBA or Westpac or St George, and you've got an app for that bank on your phone, can they get in the back door to that app?
They would probably know that you have the app installed, but they wouldn't have any clue as to what your login for the bank would be or your activity in that sense. So generally, the app has access or has some knowledge of other apps that exist on your phone, so it would obviously understand pretty quickly who you bank with. But beyond that, it doesn't have access to what's going on inside those applications.
And we've been talking about TikTok, but is it a YouTube doing the same? Is Facebook doing the same? Is Instagram doing the same?
Sometimes in some of the applications, they have potential access to it. The one thing I've at least been impressed by with other platforms is that they ask you all of these questions up front. Can we have access to your contacts? And they explain why. And you can choose not to have that and so on. But with TikTok, a lot of it's automatic. You don't necessarily have an opt-in or opt-out choice. It's just you're using the app, and that's the agreement you've made.
Right. Now, we've heard and read a little bit about ChatGPT, and you say it's now available for download as an app in the United States, and it will be soon available in Australia, and it will put AI, as in artificial intelligence, in our pockets for assistance anytime, anywhere. Jeff, yes. Firstly, tell us, for those that don't know, what is ChatGPT? Because we keep hearing and reading more about this.
Yeah, so ChatGPT is effectively an artificial intelligence tool that you can have a conversation with. And, you know, you might think that when you go into Google and you ask it a question, that's the first version of having a conversation. The difference between Google searching and ChatGPT is that when you search a question on Google, you'll get a whole bunch of websites that might have answers to that question. Mm-hmm. With ChatGPT, if you ask the same question, it will simply respond with the answer. And it uses the entire internet to try and give you the correct information. So it doesn't point you to another website. You stay within ChatGPT, and you can ask it to do something for you. You can ask it a question, and it just starts blowing down that text as soon as you press enter.
So, for example, the other night I was watching a documentary on that. Is it UFC MMA fighter Conor McGregor?
Yeah.
And I was curious to see, because he hadn't won a lot of fights, but it seems as though he was very wealthy. And I was curious to find out, you know, what the suggested wealth of Conor McGregor was. So I said, you know, hi, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to say it while I'm on air here because I've got my computer in the studio. You know, how much is Conor McGregor worth? And look, it came back with all sorts of, you can access this on the website. It didn't give me an answer, in other words. Are you suggesting that with ChatGPT, it will give you a definite answer to that question that you ask without all the BS?
Yeah, that's correct. The only difference, what I'll say, is with ChatGPT, it doesn't have a live memory. As in, if something happened today, it wouldn't know about it. So it is a little bit backdated. So at least finding out someone's net worth, I think you'd still get a very good answer, and it would tell you as of what date it knew the answer to.
Right, okay.
Yep.
So it's not available in Australia yet, but could be soon.
Yeah, so at the moment you can go to the website, OpenAI, and you can chat with it through your computer browser, but soon it will be available on your phone. And for me, that means if you're on a train, if you're in between meetings, you can be using it on the go, which would be fantastic.
And will that just be a it begs another question. Will then that mean that ChatGPT app has access to your contacts, your bank information, et cetera, et cetera?
It shouldn't, because, I mean, ChatGPT doesn't need to have its tentacles in any other part of your phone. It's just an app that you're chatting into. So if it asks for access to your contacts, you would say no, because there's no logical reason for it to be there. No, so in my view, this would be a safe thing to use. However, I do recommend if you are using a tool like this, don't tell it private information about yourself to try and get an answer about something. Uh-huh. We don't want it learning from us at the same time.
Yeah, righto. Yeah. Okay. Tradies, I talked about this the other day in the article that came out. Tradies and small business owners are going to love this new payment option, enabling collection from your iPhone to, and there's no terminal required. So in other words, if you call out a plumber, the plumber can, before they leave, say, well, that was a $19,000 job. Just kidding. And all they did was change a few washers. So that was a couple of $1,000. And you can pay now for that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All they need to have, obviously, is an iPhone XS and above. And with that iPhone, they can start collecting payments. So they'll need to work with their bank. And I think Westpac is the first bank that's jumped on board with this. But, you know, it's so convenient that you just tap your credit card or your digital wallet onto their iPhone. You'll see the amount displayed on their screen automatically as well, and then you'll get an email or an SMS receipt. I mean, it's clean. It's clean and simple. I like it.
And if it works for you, i.e. your bank work with it, is it free for you? Are there any merchant fees involved in this?
There is going to be fees, but it sounds like from the Apple conversation that we had, it sounds like the fees are more between Apple and the bank, and how the bank chooses to pass that on to you or charge you for that benefit, we're yet to see that. But yes, there's certainly some dollars being passed along the line, and I guess Apple is taking a percentage of that.
Speaking of merchant fees, are you finding in your purchases and when you use your credit card, because I would imagine, you know, you would be looking at this all the time, are you finding that there are more and more merchants that are passing on that percentage merchant fee that the bank is charging them, i.e. if you use your Visa card or your MasterCard and there's a 1.4% charge, are you finding that there are more and more people passing that 1.4% charge onto you directly at the time of that transaction?
Yes, it is becoming much more common, especially with online shopping. I'm seeing those little percentage fees coming in a lot more. And if you've got an Amex, God help you. I mean, you're just paying even more fees these days. It's yeah, it just depends on which card you've got, but yeah, it's crazy sometimes.
Okay. A new Amazon Smart Speaker is available to homes. Why would you want the new Amazon Smart Speaker?
Look, I don't know if you would, to be honest. the new one's called the Echo Pop. It does come in some nice new colours, but it looks very similar to the previous model before it, and it doesn't necessarily add a lot more functionality. So while that was not that exciting, they have also announced an Echo Auto. Now, this is a smart speaker for your car. So this would be a little gadget that sits in your 12-volt socket on your car to get power. And basically, you can ask it questions while you're driving, whether it's about the weather, controlling your smart home, or even controlling the music in your car. This little gadget is probably the one that I think people might be more interested in.
Hikers and wanderers are going to love the emergency SOS over satellite feature that was recently enabled by Apple. Again, this has only been in the last couple of weeks, but you've got to have a certain model phone and a certain model software update, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've got an iPhone 14 and above, and iPhone 14 is the current model, so an iPhone 14, you'll have access to emergency text by satellite. And that basically means that anywhere in the country, if you've got no signal and you dial 000, you'll be presented with this option where you can have almost a text message conversation with emergency services. So if something goes wrong, you've been injured, you're hurt, you'll be able to do that. But also it links in with car crash detection on the iPhone as well. So if you're on a freeway in the middle of nowhere and you have an accident and the phone thinks you've had an accident, it will place that call automatically regardless of phone coverage. So it's a really good feature. Apple's only making it free for the first 2 years, but we're waiting to see what it will cost in the future.
And last but not least, there's a new accessibility feature from, again, Apple, and it's been announced and takes voice and vision to another level. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, look, and they've always been really good with accessibility features, Apple, and this new one is for those who might have a recent diagnosis of ALS and where you're about to effectively lose your voice. Now, if that's to happen, you can record your voice. You follow some prompts with Apple. It takes 15 minutes to capture all of your different voice movements. And after you've done that, you can use text on your phone to speak, but it will speak in your voice. And that can include taking phone calls. So if a call comes in, you can quickly text to respond, and the person on the other end will actually hear your voice making that sound. So pretty impressive feature by Apple. I actually think this is the beginning of how they'll use it. I think that we'll start to see our voice being used for other things on our phones and so on in the future, though.
Yeah, okay. Very good. All right, mate. Thanks so much. We always enjoy talking to you. We'll look forward to chatting with you again next week, okay?
Can't wait. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. See you, mate. Bye-bye.